I said at the 7:45 that whenever we have a gospel reading that says, and then Jesus explained everything privately to his disciples, I think, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we got that inside track? So our family has a Friday night tradition. We watch a movie every Friday, and it rotates around who gets to choose. And this last week, we watched the film Inception for our Friday movie night. Mostly, we agreed it wasn't the best movie, I have to be honest. We can talk about that after the service if you have a different opinion. But it revolves around a very interesting kind of big idea about the state we go into in our dreams and whether it might be possible to go into somebody else's dream along with them to manipulate what's happening in their dream and achieve a certain result. The main character goes into somebody else's dream in order to plant an idea, a seed of an idea deep in his subconscious, with the aim of shaping that person's actions. And indeed, the idea that he plants does grow enough to change a major decision that the man makes later in the film. He thinks it's his own independent decision, but the audience knows that it wasn't that at all. Now, planting an idea in someone's head is not a brand new idea from this film, of course. Think of Shakespeare's play Othello, right? The villain Iago plants the idea of Desdemona's unfaithfulness, and Othello takes it to a disastrous end. Or maybe you've heard this one. If I were to say to you, whatever you do, don't think of a large purple elephant, then what do you think of? A large purple elephant, right? Because I have planted the seed of the idea in your head. Even without going into dreams, we can manipulate and be manipulated before we've even consciously reacted or responded. A seed can be planted that changes how we think, how we feel, how we act. Now, I'm thinking about all of that because our readings today, appropriate for the season, are all about planting and transplanting to bring about change, to make the world into what God wants. The prophet Ezekiel tells a parable about God taking the top part of a huge cedar tree and rooting it to grow into its own tree, a noble tree that will bear fruit and that birds will take shelter in, an image for God's chosen nation to bring blessing to the earth. And in the gospel, Jesus tells two short parables about seeds sown for the harvest and the famous mustard seed that sprouts into a large bush, both of these being images for the kingdom of God. Well, any among you gardeners today? And houseplants count in New York City, right? That's our garden. I have an increasing number of houseplants in our house, much to my husband's dismay, because I am nearly obsessed with re-rooting branches. When they break off or I prune them off of an old plant, I have to put them into water or put them into soil and see if it will grow a new plant, even when I don't really care for the original plant. So this is sort of an obsession. But I love, because of this, thinking about God doing the same thing, taking that cutting from the tree and growing a whole new one. I'm a little less comfortable with the seed thing, though, because for whatever reason, every time our kids would come home with one of those projects that involved a seed and a pot, we could never get it to sprout, right? And there were tears, and it just went on and on. I can make roots grow from a branch, but I cannot, for the life of me, make a seed sprout. But that's not the point of today. I'm just giving you my true confessions from the pulpit. Plant problems. Oh, no. Anyway, so Ezekiel and Jesus are really using these very agricultural images to talk about the same thing. God doing something new. God taking something, making it take root, and growing it. You could say that Jesus wants to plant a seed in our minds, just like in the movie, but not in order to manipulate us. He wants to plant the seed of the kingdom of God, or what we also call the reign of God, or the commonwealth of God, the world as God wills it to be. God, Jesus wants to plant that seed and watch it grow into a life that can change the whole world. So last week, our parish outreach committee met and talked about how best to inspire service and outreach here at St. Michael's. Being a Christian means seeking and serving Christ in others, like our baptismal vows say. But we can all get ourselves so busy with other things, the constant go-go achievement of our lives, and all the complexities of our daily schedules, which are already filling back up again after this long hiatus, have you noticed? Our busyness and our distraction is one reason it can be difficult to get enough volunteers for Saturday Kitchen, for example, or for all the other ministries at church. Everyone thinks they're important to do, but few make the time to do them. And the committee thought, we need more preaching on this, to remind us that service is a part of Christian life, to see if by saying it more often, we might more effectively plant that seed, if you will, and have it bear fruit. Jesus' teaching, much of Scripture, is very clear. We have a mandate to care for the poor and the vulnerable among us, to heal broken systems, to restore creation, to change the world for the better. But sometimes we can get so caught on our need to change the world that we can forget it's not something we do all on our own. We might have a vision in our mind of what the world should be, and we can make ourselves believe that if we just vote for the right candidate, or use the right words, or design the perfect program, then we'll get there. And we try hard to manipulate things to make that idea grow, and then we are so disappointed when the idea of a better world, according to us, doesn't bear fruit. Try as we might, we can't argue the kingdom of God into existence, no matter how good our words might be. We can't get everyone to see it our way, even if we really do think we've got the solution. And so we exhaust ourselves and give up and get busy with other things. But the parables today, all of them, are about what God is doing, not us. It's God who grows that new tree from the cutting of the old one. The seed is planted and grows not because of anything the farmer does. He just keeps going to bed and getting up every day. But because that's the nature of a seed, to grow. And the mustard seed, tiny as it is, grows into this enormous bush, a weed that's unstoppable, no thanks to us. They're reminders, in other words, these parables, about the power of God at work in the world, at work in the simple, amazing miracles of life that a tiny little seed can grow into something huge, but also at work in our lives and in the whole world. The kingdom of God just happens, like a weed. With us or without us, these parables say, God is bringing about God's beloved community. We don't make the seed grow. We don't make the roots take hold from the cuttings. We live into what comes next. Now it's clear, yes, we do have a part in what God is up to. Jesus tells that other parable elsewhere about the different kinds of soil and whether the seed can grow or not in them. We can, on our part, improve the conditions for the seed to grow. We can tend our soil with prayer, with quiet, with good, nourishing community. We can pull up the brambles of the self-sabotaging behavior that might get in the way. We can shoo away the birds of cynicism and selfishness that seek to devour and consume the good before it's done. We can reach out our hands to care for others, to love them, to offer what we can to make their lives better. We can do our own work on ourselves, on our priorities, our lives, which really are the only things we have any control over at all. All those other people, they're on their own when it comes to growing the seed. But still, in the end, the reign of God is not of our doing. The seed is sown, it grows and flourishes, and then God invites us to take part in the harvest, to be nourished with the grain, to make our nests in the shade, not to create and control all of it. Before we do anything, God has done it. Our actions of love and care and outreach, all that we do to build the beloved community, all of it comes first from the love of God for us and for this world. God's love is what makes it possible for us to love. God's image planted within us is what enables us to love and serve and create, because that's what God does. We don't do it all on our own. God is always planting seeds, liberally, extravagantly. And the harvest from what God does is always abundant. There is always more than enough. And God bids us, come. Come to the table. Come eat and be satisfied. Come rest in my presence in prayer. And then go out and share the harvest. Be fed and be sustained, and go and feed others. Because that's what God is doing already. May God richly bless all that we do, in Christ's name. Amen.